Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I am delighted to have you with me. I want to begin this hour. First, I hope those of you living in Texas are okay. The hurricane was just brutal, I know, and I want to talk about it because we hear a lot of people saying Joe Biden is a good man. A good man, first of all, would not think himself the indispensable person who can't leave the race. But a good man would not do something I want you to be made aware of that Joe Biden did yesterday. Hurricane Beryl was bearing down on Texas, barreling through Texas. Bodies, death toll, none of that had been determined. Damage had not been determined. And Joe Biden got on social media, or someone for Joe Biden, got on social media knowing Greg Abbott is overseas. Greg Abbott had a previously scheduled overseas trade mission, so Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor of Texas, has been in charge. Dan Patrick also owns a radio station. Hi, Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick, in charge, lieutenant governor. Joe Biden chose to attack Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick, claiming he was not asleep at the wheel and they were. He was around trying to find them to do damage assessment for FEMA and no one would respond to his call. How dare you say Joe Biden's not up to the job of the president when the governor and lieutenant governor in the middle of a hurricane weren't up to the job of answering his phone call? It's disgusting. The lieutenant governor of Texas in charge, the governor of Texas abroad, the hurricane is, at the time Joe Biden tweeted, literally in the state causing damage. I am not an expert in this area of the law, but I know the very basics are this, because I was on a city council. You have to do the damage assessment in order to do the declaration for FEMA because you got to know rough estimates of money that you're going to need. The hurricane was barreling through the state, destroying parts of the state, flooding parts of the state, destroying homes, taking lives, turning out power. There was no possible way for them to be able to do the FEMA declaration without the basic estimates. It's just government 101. Like, for real, folks, I'm not an expert in this, but when I got elected to a city council, I had to go through a multi-day workshop on what it means to be on a council and how it works and all that, and the basics of, like, disaster relief and emergency declaration, and you got to do the damage assessment in order to get the FEMA declaration. You can't do the damage assessment while the hurricane is rolling through the state. You have to wait for it to go to begin compiling the data. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's always been done. And if Joe Biden were in his right mind, he would know that that's how it's done. But instead, he decided to use the death and destruction caused by a hurricane to try to make himself look like he was on the job. And to throw partisan shots at the governor and lieutenant governor of Texas at a time the state was grappling with a natural disaster. If the lieutenant governor wasn't able to take Joe Biden's call, it's probably because he was on the phone with the National Guard doing a life assessment for people in Texas who might be stranded or dying or drowned. It was disgusting. Please stop telling me Joe Biden is a good man. A good man would not try to draw political opportunity from an ongoing disaster that literally was ongoing at the time he tried to tweet it, or someone tweeted it for him. It's offensive. It's absurd. But also, it's desperation. It really is a level of desperation. And I'm kind of flabbergasted that he would do this. And now listen, both sides politicize tragedy. I do understand both sides politicize tragedy. I get it. But while the tragedy is ongoing, it's like, in all honesty, when there's a shooting, Barack Obama, I think it was the Newtown shooting, Barack Obama, instead of waiting a day doing the thoughts and prayer stuff, immediately comes out and starts demanding gun control. He's outraged by it. I was outraged by him immediately turning politics, but I also got it. As a partisan, I get it. It's not just he's outraged that they won't do anything. A bunch of kids have died. I realize if you're an Alex Jones listener, you don't believe that, but you're nuts. Kids died. It was an awful tragedy. He wanted to do something, and he believes still that gun laws have to be changed to prevent that from happening again. I understand it. I disagree with it. But the difference is that he didn't go out, or you know what, take the Uvalde, Texas one, because that one lasted several hours. He didn't go out, or Democrats did not go out while the bullets were still flying and say, we need gun control, we're going to pass legislation. The hurricane is rolling through. Your first reaction as president of the United States should not be to have your team rush to Twitter to do partisan shots while the hurricane is still rolling through the state and the damage assessment cannot yet be done. But when you're desperate, you do those things. And that's the bigger issue here, is that this signals another level of desperation by the White House. They're trying very hard to sell Joe Biden as he's got it together. The problem is, Joe Biden on stage just doesn't seem to have it together. I mean, this is Joe Biden at the NATO summit where he's giving his big speech, and he's got a teleprompter.
Destroy Ukraine's culture.
He can't say Ukraine on stage. He couldn't look away from the teleprompter. I realize that the Democrats want to tell us he's got a speech impediment. He's got a stutter. You know what? I grew up with a stutter, too. But it's bizarre that we're having this now. Every single time Joe Biden utters a word now, people are going to question it. People are going to ask questions about everything Joe Biden says.
Even before Russia bombs were falling in Ukraine, the alliance acted. I ordered the U.S. reinforcements at NATO's eastern flank.
Slurring bombs as bombs and an eastern flank. These are parts of his speech on stage. These are the things people are going to question. Rushing out to politicize this hurricane in Texas, not only is it inappropriate, but it looks like he's trying to overcompensate for something. And what is that something? He's in decline. In fact, I don't know if you guys have heard this. It didn't get a lot of attention originally. So NBC Now is one of their programs. They interviewed a doctor who is a Democrat, who is a Parkinson's expert.
This is not a palatal issue or a speech discrepancy, which is very different from a lemono dysfunction, actual word retrieval, where you pick a similar question or talk around the issue, plus the rigidity, monotone voice.
Wait, go back to that, the rigidity. What do you mean?
Rigidity, loss of arm swing, standing up lordotically. You notice when he turns, it's kind of en bloc turning. It's not a quick turn. That's one of the hallmarks of Parkinsonism, is rigidity and bradykinesia, slow movement. And he has that hallmark, especially with the low voice that said was a cold hypophonia, a small monotone voice like this over time is a hallmark of Parkinsonism. I could have diagnosed him from across the mall.
Here are some of the symptoms from Parkinson's. We just had him up there on the screen. If we can put him back. What about the movement? Some people have pointed out the way he walks. Sometimes it's not very fast, small steps. Is that something that is common in people who are battling a disease like Parkinson's?
Yeah, it's a hallmark. Shuffling gait, we call that, so little steps. Loss of arm swing from the rigidity. When we walk, we have a nice cadence. You notice he doesn't really swing his arms. And end block turning, meaning he kind of pivots around his foot. If you said, hey, President Biden, he wouldn't go like this.
But I also know, and tell me if I'm wrong here, it's very hard to diagnose Parkinson's, isn't it? It's not simple. I mean, I've heard that it can be.
It's one of the easier movement disorders to diagnose, actually.
Right.
But it's so clinic. There's very little other. And I'm a Democrat. I always say,
yeah,
about this.
Right.
It's just like, this guy is not a hard case.
But I've had.
So he goes on to say, you got copyright issues when you play too much of this stuff, but he goes on to say, I'm a Democrat and I'm mad at my party because we're going to lose to Trump because we're trying to defend a guy who clearly has Parkinson's and they're trying to cover it up. It was remarkable to have this interview and to trip up the reporter who's like, isn't it hard? And he's like, no, maybe in early stages it's hard to diagnose Parkinson's, but towards the end it's really easy when you've got all of these symptoms. It's really easy to say this is Parkinson's. Yes, it is easy to say it when you have all those symptoms. And the best the White House can do to distract from it is to attack the governor and lieutenant governor of Texas in the middle of a brewing natural disaster so that he looks like he's more with it than they're with it, though they're in the middle of the storm dealing with it, and he's safely parked in Washington, D.C., surrounded by advisors protecting him from the public glare. That is not a good man. It's not. And there have been story after story of Joe Biden not being a good man. Joe Biden believes himself to be the indispensable man, that he can't step aside. I still kind of at this point think they're going to have to find a way to push him out. But a growing number of Democrats have reconciled themselves to the fact that he's not going anywhere. Gotten really awkward silence on Capitol Hill. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of awkward silence on Capitol Hill now. That there's growing concern that he's not going anywhere. I gotta think behind the scenes the conversations are different, though. I have to think behind the scenes the conversations are different because you've got a growing panic. And what is something that gets politicians to act? The fear of losing their job, the fear of losing their job gets them to act. Nancy Pelosi very oddly said she stands with Joe Biden, and then she said, and she's not really prepared to release a statement at this time. It's just kind of wild, is it not? It's just kind of wild. They've engaged in this cover-up. They've been caught. Now you've got Senator Bennett of Colorado, saying that Joe Biden's going to cost them the Senate, the House, and the White House, that they're going to lose. He sees the writing on the wall. He says, quote, the White House has done nothing since the debate to demonstrate they have a plan to win this election. I believe the entire future of our country is at stake. I think it's critically important they address the concerns of the American people, not ignore them. And instead, they're trying to politicize an ongoing natural disaster to make Joe Biden seem like he's got it together and is active and more together than the governor and lieutenant governor of Texas, who themselves were on the ground in the middle of a hurricane dealing with a natural disaster while Joe Biden was in Washington only dealing with the disaster of his campaign, seeking to capitalize on that natural disaster to deal with the disaster of his campaign. Again, that's not a good man.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I need your attention, please, because this hasn't gotten a lot of national attention, and I really do want your attention right here. I realize I'm putting it in a short segment because I don't have a lot to add to it, but it actually is really important. Averill Haines is the director of national intelligence. Averill Haines worked in the State Department, moved to the Central Intelligence Agency, rose to the ranks. Joe Biden appointed Averill Haines director of national intelligence. Our intelligence community has been doing research into who it is that might be trying to exploit our elections, who might be trying to steal the election. I need you to pay attention to me here, particularly you Republicans who are tired of hearing the Russians are stealing the election. Pay attention to me. You Democrats really need to pay attention to me at this moment, because it has not gotten a lot of information. It hasn't gotten a lot of coverage. Averill Haines, the director of national intelligence, has released a report. More is coming. This press release came out late yesterday. Director of National Intelligence Averill Haines today released the following statement. The intelligence community recognizes the importance of informing the public of foreign efforts to influence our democratic processes and consequently leading into the presidential and congressional elections this year. We are launching today the first of what will be regularly updates regarding such threats. I will just skip down to the bottom line. In recent weeks, Iranian government actors have sought to opportunistically take advantage of ongoing protests regarding the war in Gaza, using a playbook we've seen other actors use over the years. We have observed actors tied to Iran's government posing as activists online, seeking to encourage protests, and even providing financial support to protesters. I want to be clear that I know Americans who participate in protests are, in good faith, expressing their views on the conflict in Gaza. This intelligence does not indicate otherwise. Moreover, the freedom to express diverse views, when done peacefully, is essential to our democracy. But it is also important to warn of foreign actors who seek to exploit our debate for their own purposes. Furthermore, Americans who are being targeted by this Iranian campaign may not be aware that they are interacting with or receiving support from a foreign government. Yeah, you Republicans who are tired of hearing about this, you Democrats who think the Russians and Chinese are exploited, it's the Iranians who are amping up and funding the pro-Hamas demonstrations that you Democrats haven't wanted to condemn. Don't believe me, believe Joe Biden's director of national intelligence. That's a pretty big story. The Iranians are trying to influence these protests. They're funding the protests on college campuses and around America. They're funding it, people. You get worked up about the Chinese, you get worked up about the Russians, Democrats. It's the Iranians funding this. Keep that in mind. Now, I want you guys to go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com, and I want you to get your free copy of the Declaration of Independence. In fact, I'm going to go Eric for, you know, the R is messed up on my keyboard anyway, ericforhillsdale.com. When you go, you get to watch this great video on Thomas Jefferson. In 1826, Thomas Jefferson was invited by the mayor of Washington, D.C. to celebrate the 50th anniversary of American independence. Although Jefferson's failing health prevented him from attending, the author of the Declaration replied with his last letter, offering a beautiful reflection on America's founding and a message of hope for the nation's future. And then you can download the Declaration of Independence. You get your free copy. And then you can also get some great DVDs on the Constitution, the Real American Founding, great courses from Hillsdale College. All you have to do is go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Go sign up, get your free copy of the Declaration of Independence from Hillsdale College today.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome back, Eric Erickson here. I want to get into the Trump rally now. The phone number, by the way, 877-973-7425. If you text ENGAGE to 33777, you know, Glenn Youngkin is now suddenly being floated as the possible VP pick. I don't know that it's going to be him, but he is going to be at the gathering on Thursday night, hanging out with the crowd August 8th. We're doing a reception, and he's going to be there as the featured speaker at the reception. You can hang out, get up close and personal with the governor of Virginia, a potential vice presidential prospect. Just text the word ENGAGE to 33777. Text ENGAGE to 33777. Now, let's spend some time playing audio, if you haven't heard it, from Donald Trump's rally last night in Doral, Florida.
But whatever else can be said about crooked Joe Biden, you have to give him credit for one brilliant decision, probably the smartest decision he's ever made. He picked Kamala Harris as his vice president. No, it was brilliant. Because it was an insurance policy, maybe the best insurance policy I've ever seen, Marco. If Joe had picked someone even halfway competent, they would have bounced him from office years ago, but they can't because she's got to be their second choice. She has no choice and no chance.
He's not wrong. Let's just acknowledge he's not wrong also.
Where's Hunter? Remember the sign, where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? He's in the White House. Hunter is in the White House running government right now, they say.
One more here.
Despite all the Democrat panic this week, the truth is it doesn't matter who they nominate because we are going to beat any one of them in thundering landslides. And this November is going to be amazing, going to be the most important election in the history of our country because our country's going down the tubes. That's a nice way of saying our country's not doing too well. We've never had anything like it. Our borders, our economy, the worst inflation ever. We have the politics on our side. We have the policies on our side that will make America great again, and they don't. They will only continue to destroy our nation. Our nation is being destroyed.
And I got to play you this as well, because this, I'm glad he's making this point.
Joe, Kamala, and the entire Democrat establishment have been caught red-handed in the thick of the biggest scandal and the biggest cover-up. It's a cover-up. That's what it is. And I said it when they hit this guy in the basement and then they cheated on the election. It's a cover-up. It's the biggest cover-up in political history. As you know, they are all co-conspirators in the sinister plot to defraud the American public about the cognitive abilities of the man in the Oval Office. Sometimes
he's right. He's right. It needs to be said. Had a massive crowd there for him. And then after it was over, I mentioned the Michael Bennett stuff. Michael Bennett said those things in a Senate meeting and confirmed them. And then he went on CNN last night. And, well, listen.
My colleague Dana Bash reported that you, Senator John Tester, and Senator Sherrod Brown all said during that lunch that you don't think President Biden can win in 2024. Is that true?
Well, it's true that I said that. And I did say that behind closed doors. And you guys and others asked whether I had said it. And that is what I said. So I figured I should come here and say it publicly.
Why do you think he can't win in November?
I just think this race is on a trajectory that is very worrisome if you care about the future of this country. Joe Biden was 9 points up at this time, the last time he was running. Hillary Clinton was 5 points up. This is the first time in more than 20 years that a Republican president has been up in this part of the campaign. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House.
What I honestly find remarkable about this is that Michael Bennett is willing to say publicly what a lot of them are saying privately, and they're just too scared to come out and publicly say. But I think Michael Bennett coming out and saying it is probably going to lead others to come out and say it as well. What is his name? Penny Murdy, the senator from Washington, released a statement but didn't go on TV and say the same. And I go back to a couple of these Democratic consultants I talked to over the weekend who were complaining about John Fetterman. Will you just shut up and stop providing excuses for Joe Biden to stay? And I thought it was very funny that they were mad at Fetterman for defending Joe Biden. You've got Trump out there getting massive crowds, and the issues continue to go in Donald Trump's direction in ways that catch the Democrats off guard and in ways that undermine the Democratic case. Now, what am I talking about? 53% of Hispanics favor mass deportation of illegal immigrants. Not only that, in Miami-Dade, where Donald Trump was having his rally, half the population is born in another country. Half the population is born in another country. When Donald Trump had his event last night in Doral, Florida, a significant portion of the crowd was Hispanic, and they gave him a standing ovation when he supported mass deportation of illegal immigrants. In fact, the Democrats have, to their own detriment, convinced themselves that nobody supports mass deportation, that it's some sort of awful thing to believe in, except it's not true at all. It's not true. Actually, the data shows overwhelmingly that Hispanic voters in this country, they support mass deportation. They support it. Donald Trump turning this into an issue is going to work to his advantage. Here he is last night.
And as Joe says, I want to go to the beach today. The guy thinks he looks good in a bathing suit. Did you ever say? No, somebody in his staff told him, you look great in a bathing suit. He can't lift the chair. You know, those chairs are meant for children and old people to lift. Old people and children. And he can't lift them. They weigh about 4 ounces. When I'm president, I promise you this, I will not rest until we have found these radical Islamic terrorists and throw them the hell out of our country. We're going to get them out of here. And we will not let them back in. So many people, very few were thrown out, but the ones that came back in during this Biden administration of open borders, who the hell wants open borders? How crazy is it?
One more, talking about meeting with Rachel Warren's family.
And recently in Virginia, at Trump National Golf Club in the Potomac River, I had lunch with the mother of and the sister of Rachel Warren. Rachel was a 37-year-old beautiful mother of five who was attacked, raped, and brutally murdered while out on a run. She was running. She always wanted to keep herself in good shape, her mother told me. She was a beautiful person. Police believe the sadistic monster charged with Rachel's death first killed another woman in another country, then fled across Joe Biden's wide-open border into the United States, after which he attacked a 9-year-old girl and her mother in a home invasion in Los Angeles before murdering Rachel in Maryland. And recently in Virginia.
Y'all, I realize if you're a Democrat, you're dismissive of the support for mass deportations, but it's actually a really big issue. And it's an issue that's drawing Hispanic voters and others to Donald Trump because people take this seriously and Biden doesn't seem to take it seriously. On top of everything else, on top of the health issues, on top of the dementia, on top of the economy, immigration is a huge issue. And it's the issue that Donald Trump keeps going back to. And the Democrats, I've seen this on social media. So, you know, I mentioned what happened in France. And the left-wing parties all got together and they were able to block the right-wing party. And the right-wing party is a socialist party, but it's opposed to immigration, so it's labeled right-wing. That's not going to happen in this country. We have the Democrats and we have the Republicans. And a majority of Americans support mass deportation, including a plurality of Democrats. Independent voters, a majority. Republican voters, a majority. Democrats, a plurality. That is like 45% of them do. 30-some percent say no. The rest undecided. So a plurality, not a majority. But the higher number for the Democrats supports it. You got the Republicans. You've got the independents. You got most of the Democrats, it seems, who have decided on the issue. Hispanic voters support it. Black voters support it. White voters support it. The only people who are opposed to it are upper-income white liberals. And they're in the minority on the issue. This matters. Donald Trump has the issue. He had a huge crowd last night. Joe Biden doesn't even try to pull in these crowds. He doesn't have an enthusiastic base. He may have a loyal base, but most of that loyalty is hatred of Trump, not actually loyalty to Joe Biden. This is a fundamental problem for the Biden campaign. And again, like I said in the first hour, I honestly think Trump should put off naming his VP until after the Biden supposed quote-unquote big boy press conference on Thursday. let the Democrats continue to panic over Biden. The fact that Michael Bennett, senator from Colorado, is willing now to go on television, on CNN, and go on the record and say Joe Biden can't continue. The fact that Nancy Pelosi would not give a clear, definitive answer suggests there are still fundamental problems undermining Biden's candidacy on the Democratic side, and they're trying to figure out how to convince him to get out. They know they can't get him out, but they're trying to find a way to get him out. And then, of course, you've got the Biden mental exam, where the White House dim-witted press secretary claimed Biden didn't see a neurologist outside of his annual physical, and now they're scrambling to say actually he saw a neurologist separately in January. The drip, 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 drip comes on. As Donald Trump is barnstorming the country, getting massive crowds, able to rally people, able to rally Hispanic voters, able to capitalize on the concerns about Joe Biden. The Cook Political Report, Arizona's move from a toss-up state to a lean Republican state. Georgia's from a toss-up state to a lean Republican state. Minnesota's gone from likely Democrat to lean Democrat, which means it's leaning away from the Democrats. New Hampshire's gone from likely Democrat to lean Democrat. Nevada's gone from toss-up to lean Republican. You got three of the swing states now have moved into the Republican camp, according to the Cook Political Report. That's the one people in Washington pay attention to. That's the one people pay attention to. Even in Maryland, there's private polling I'm aware of that shows Larry Hogan winning. That's a blue seat. That's a blue seat. That's a Democratic seat. And Larry Hogan, the moderate to liberal Republican former governor who's running for the Senate there, might very well be able to pick up that seat with Joe Biden at the top of the ticket. This is a disaster for the Democrats. And Joe Biden, as I mentioned yesterday, his declaration is a suicide pact. A suicide pact. If you try to take me out, I'll take you out of the convention. Come try to take me out of the convention. That's not healthy for the Democrats, yet that's where they are. That's not going to turn out well for them. It's going to be hilarious to watch, however. Pop some popcorn. Now, I got to tell you about Americans for Prosperity. Speaking of the border and immigration issue, I promise I didn't sync these up together, but Americans for Prosperity has been sending people to the border to watch what's going on down there. You can go to secureborderSecureAmerica.com and get the scoop on what's actually happening at the southern border. They have the data, the policies, the proposals that are pending in Congress. You can sign up to get more information about them, educate yourself about the common sense conservative solutions to secure the border, and then you can become an advocate for those with your members of Congress. All you have to do is go to secureborderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com, brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity. They will turn you into a great activist. They will give you the information to share with your family and friends on the common sense solutions that can secure the border, from more agents to a physical wall, to technology solutions in areas a wall is not feasible or practical, to the need for more judges to process amnesty claims, to more detention facilities so we're not sending people into the country, to remain in Mexico policies. All those sorts of things are there. All you need to do is go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com, brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. So I mentioned the Cook Political Report. It is paid attention by both sides of the aisle. Congresswoman Betty, who is a black Democratic congresswoman, was on Aaron Burnett's show last night after the Cook Political Index had updated. And for, if you're just tuning in now, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada are now considered leaning Republican states, no longer toss-ups, according to Cook, which is a widely, widely studied political report out of Virginia and out of D.C. It's highly respected. And this is Congresswoman Betty.
Glenn, I want to go now to the Democratic Congresswoman Joyce Beatty. She has been vocal in her support of President Biden, and she says, she is, and I quote you, 100% with the president. So I appreciate your time very much, Congresswoman. I want to just start with what I mentioned there. The Cook Political Report obviously closely analyzes political races, and we just got this update from them making some changes to their electoral map and moving some key states away from Biden. I mentioned a few of them, Minnesota, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and New Hampshire on the list. Does that concern you, Congresswoman?
Well, I think we're always concerned when we're this close, or maybe I should say this far out from the race. We have time between now and November. I think we'll see an uptick. We're all out as Sarah gets stumping for him. President Biden will also be out. So we're watching the numbers. We're doing the same thing that you're doing. But we have a lot that we can say to those American people in those states, because President Biden has delivered. And that's the good thing. We know that Vice President Harris is out on the stump campaigning today while the president is delivering or delivered an amazing speech for NATO.
That's some good spin there. These people are panicked. Panicked about the data, because the data doesn't help them. The data is not good. Around the country, races are shifting. Here's the thing. Right now, polling is starting to come out, and I realize some of you don't like the polling, but consider Michael Bennett from Colorado. Consider Congresswoman Beatty. They pay attention to the polling. They have internal polling that they think is quite credible, and the internal Democratic polling has leaked to show what a disaster it would be, and the internal Democratic polling for the Democrats shows Donald Trump up 10 in Pennsylvania. If Donald Trump is up 10 in Pennsylvania, this is going to be a blowout. It does put states like New Hampshire and Virginia and Minnesota even in winnable territory. Now, I don't believe Minnesota or Virginia will happen. I don't. But it puts them in playable territory. And the result is that Joe Biden has to spend more money in states to shore them up. And he only has so much money. And right now, Democratic donors trying to pressure him have decided to cut him off. That's not a winning solution for the Democrats. It causes the Democrats to panic. It's actually pretty funny to watch. I realize there are so many other things going on. That's why I actually started the first hour with the NATO stuff, because there is other stuff going on than watching the implosion of the Biden campaign. But it is actually, in my mind, remarkable to behold this disastrous setting for the Biden campaign. The polling is bad. It's all bad for them. It's all bad for the Democrats. It shouldn't be this bad. And it is, because Americans realize they've been played. You're not going to get played at Omaha Steaks. You're going to get great steak from them. And if you're unhappy, they're going to give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com. They've got their summer grilling package. You can put it in your cart at checkout. Use promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. You get $10 off. Their summer grilling package, it's $99. And then at checkout, you put in the promo code ERIC. You get $10 off. In fact, I'm going to go omahasteaks.com. And you're going to see the Hotter Than Fire 50% off sale. You click this, and you see the Fire It Up pack for $99. It gives you butcher cut top sirloin, boneless pork chops, Omaha steak burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, steakhouse fries, seasoning. There's satisfaction guaranteed. You put it in your cart. At checkout, you see the promo code. You put in ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, and you will get $10 off. So your $99.99 package, that's already incredible savings. You're going to save even more. The Hotter Than Fire sale happening right now for the summer at omahasteaks.com. Put ERIC in as your promo code at checkout and save $10. omahasteaks.com.